Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a rainy Tuesday morning, Tuesday, October the 7th, 2025. First Tuesday in the month of October, 12 and a half minutes past the hour. I think autumn has come, even though it's 66 degrees this morning. It is definitely raining, which we do need in the Marion area. And I don't think the temperatures are going to get much warmer than this today. This might be toward the high end of the temperature range today, around 66 to 70 degrees. And kind of a rainy day. So this might usher in autumn because temperatures for about the next week and a half look to be about in this area, which they should be. This is normal for the beginning of October. Hard to believe we're already 7 days into October. Well, I do want to alert people to a couple things before we get into the meat and potatoes of the show this morning. I've already scratched my Monopoly cup off from McDonald's this morning. I got Illinois Avenue, so I have not won $1 million, so the show will go on today. The show will continue to go on. And I left the pumpkin on again last night. I left the jack-o'-lantern Halloween decoration on, so the building didn't burn down, but I did leave it on again yesterday after our very interesting conversation we had yesterday morning. So, that's where we are to kick off the show. Now, I guess we turn to last night's city council committee meetings, which went about 3 hours last night. So, I had a lot of time last night to really ponder over these meetings, because we were there for 3 hours, 6:30 till about 9:30. Now, you know, everybody who listens to this show, I wish at some point went down there and watched one of these marathon three-hour sessions, whether it's a regular city council meeting or whether it's committee meetings. They truly are something to see. Because last night, again, went off the tracks several different times, and you're sitting there and you're thinking, now, am I really watching government at work? Am I really watching city government at work? Because it doesn't seem like that's what's going on in front of you. Now, last night started off with about a 30-minute presentation on why the city needs somebody local who can approve building plans. Now, this is not a hot topic, although there was a plumber there last night who had some points to make on why it might not be such a good idea. That did not get very heated, and I think that just became a discussion, and that will go on to city council. So there wasn't a whole lot there, just a long presentation, and we can talk more about that as the morning goes along. Basically, people feel the state is not approving plans for construction as quickly as they need to be. So if we have a local office or somebody from Columbus who has a local connection who we've contracted with, that this process will move along a little faster. So that's where it all started. Now, where it began to go south last night was when we got to the description of what the economic development person would be. Well, we've already got a call coming in, so let's go to that. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott.
Yes.
First, I had to call and correct you at this early hour.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I wanted to call and say that when you said people seemed upset about this, there was one citizen there named Luke Henry who gets lots and lots and lots of tax dollars to own most of downtown. Now, it sounds like Mr. Henry is the one that wants this because he's the one that's regularly seeing long delays, et cetera, from the state. So it sounds like we are going to create an entire building codes department so Luke Henry can get his way. I took away from that last night.
Well, I want to point out, one
Did
person...
Did you get any of that, or was I the only one that was...
Well, no, I mean... Here's what I felt about that. A local plumber got up, and I felt that he was...
The owner of Proline.
Proline. And
Pro-owner,
I felt...
Co-owner or whatever.
And I felt that he was speaking out against it, as to why it would not be a good idea. And then Luke Henry got up, and he spoke out for why it would be a good idea. And
because it would benefit him tremendously.
Well, here's what I felt about
that. Would it benefit him tremendously?
Well, I think, publicly. Yeah, I mean, I think he admitted to that last night.
But no one else came up there and said, this will benefit me tremendously. Let's create an entire new department. But, sorry, go ahead.
No, I don't think anybody else got up and said it would be of great benefit. But I don't also, I can't remember anybody else saying it would be a bad thing. So
here's the slippery slope. I'm afraid that they're not explaining it all to us. You know how they keep saying, oh, we'll train a local person. We'll do this, we'll do that. I see that turning into a local job, full-time paid.
Well, here's the thing. Again, timing is everything. And it's been a long time since I've seen Luke Henry at a committee meeting. And number two...
A meeting in general.
I haven't seen him...
The last time I saw Luke Henry at a meeting was when King Welcome sent out his decree, gathering up all of his buddies to come about talk about how great Love Your City was. Against Negative Nelly, and that was about a year ago. September of last year.
So he did have prepared questions. Now, there are two ways to take this. Now, number one, you could say, well, obviously he's heavily in the construction business. He would have an interest in this. Or you could say that this man does a lot of stuff downtown with buildings, and this would be of great benefit to him, like you said. So it could go either way. Probably
the owner
not.
Of Proline was sitting back there saying that the guy, because for the people who don't really realize, there's a company up here from Columbus that's trying to sell us that they'll actually do our inspections and stuff for us. So we aren't really going to have our own building person that does the plans and stuff. We're going to be subcontracting out to a company in Columbus. Now, the company in Columbus said it was possible for them to train. Us to have our own employee, but they would still be doing the bulk of the work.
So that's
what this whole conversation is about. But the Proline guy, the owner of the company, he was sitting in front of me, and the guy from Columbus kept saying whatever he was saying, and that guy's like, what he's saying is, that's just not true. He's like, I do this every single day in and day out, and they kept having him pegged as just a plumber. He does more than plumbing.
Well, I guess the interesting thing is if it was not a setup for him to be there because of the business... No, if it's not, I mean, I'll give everybody the benefit of the doubt until I know otherwise. If it was not a setup for him to be there, it certainly looked a little suspect.
So, couldn't explain why. I mean, Schauder gave a somewhat of an explanation because at some point in time, this was his idea well over a year ago, but this just appeared on the agenda overnight. No discussion that I remember has been had about this. And I'm assuming because Luke Henry is waiting too long on his permits, he just went up to King Welcome and Lady Bodine and said, I need help with this, create me a department. And they said, okay, hold on, just let us see how we can do this. We'll get back to you. So they're either going to pile more work on the person that already works there, or they're going to end up creating a whole new position. But this is for one person. We spent well over an hour and a half in city council last night to benefit one person.
Well, though, as Schauber said last night, he felt that that was productive conversation. He felt that that was a discussion that needed to be had. And the guy from Columbus did say that it would not cost the city hardly anything or next to nothing. You know, that this is not going to be a big thing.
Didn't we hear that one be from Veritas before we ended up paying them $275,000 to still not be able to fix our problem?
Well, you know what? Clearly, the guy there last night, and I cannot fault him for this. I mean, he owns a business.
Yeah.
He's trying to sell the city of Marion on it.
He was giving us a pitch.
It was like a sales pitch. It was like somebody trying to sell you a vacuum cleaner. That's what he was doing.
That's exactly what it was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that's what he was there to do. I mean, there was no other reason for him to be there.
As a member of the audience or a person watching, Would you? I probably might. Well, the only reason I went was because I asked them to fix my street, and it's the very last thing on the agenda. Would you have sat through an hour, like just a regular person, sat through an hour of listening to that? I know a couple people got up from behind me and left.
Well, you know, there are basic questions as I sit there that I always wonder about. Like, is there a great call for this in Marion?
Because you're Luke Henry.
Well, okay, let's put Luke in that category because obviously he said this would help him.
Well, we were passing notes around back there. I said, other than Luke Henry, who can you think of that has a lot of big construction going on in Marion right now, inside the city, commercial?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, who brought this up as a big problem for the city of Marion on an ongoing basis? Because I don't know. I'm not in construction, so I don't know if there is a big problem with this.
Well, it sounds like there's an issue. It does sound like there's an issue. But is one person's issue an entire city's problem?
Well, that's my question. Is it just one person's issue? Are other people having issues?
Well, where were the other people that were advocating for this?
Well, I would say that...
We'll have to wait and see if they surface through council meetings.
Well, I would hope...
This is going to get suspended next week. Collins already said it. Well, no, I'm sorry. That's what he said about the economic development. This will get suspended and it'll get passed next week.
Well, see, here's the thing.
I guarantee you there will be costs associated with this down the road that they tried to tell us that there weren't any costs. And now all of a sudden, well, this program development, that, and this has changed. And now we're actually, and we looked at the contract and we do owe them this. And when we signed it, we owed them quarterly payments. And we forgot to put that in the budget. I'm telling you, this is not going to be cost neutral.
Well, I would wonder.
Nothing they do is cost neutral.
Yeah, but I would wonder if nobody else comes forward besides Luke, why they would pass something that there is not a great demand for. Now, if they can prove there's a great demand for it outside of Luke, well, okay. Then I think there's...
What about Party Bus, Scott?
What's that?
What about Party Bus and the great demand for it? There, you don't have to prove anything. Once these people get their way, they need no reason
well,
to
right,
justify
but,
anything.
But I mean, this is all... The great thing about this, there is a record, and it's being kept. And as I always say, it's not hard in Marion right now to be elected as a Republican. So that's no great feat. So the decisions that they make and the fact that they are in office is not any great thing. But the record will show for future generations who have to work their way out of this... what went down and why they did it. So I would hope, you know, and I know they listen to the show.
I don't know. If you've read Pollock's Minutes, they are nothing like Tarina Rose's. When you read Tarina Rose's, you're like, okay, I'm sitting in the room and this is what happened. When you read Matt Pollock's, you're like, that word misspelled, that word
Well, no,
misspelled.
I guess what
that
I'm saying is...
That put in there. I mean, it's... Yes, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
When this thing implodes, somebody's going to have to explain it or wonder what
right.
happened.
Right, and what council passed it, and why did
mm-hmm.
they pass it that way? So, I mean, I hope they are all thinking about that, because their reputations are the thing that's on the line.
They don't think that anything they do is wrong, though, so there's no chance of having a damage to their reputation. If you think what you're doing is right, then you don't think you're damaging your reputation.
Right, but see, what you just said is exactly what I have always contended, is what they think they're doing is right. Now, as a public official, if you think it's right, well, I really can't fault you for that. If you truly in your mind and heart believe that that is what is right and that is what is needed, you're going to vote for it. But understand there are repercussions, I guess is what I would say to all those people.
There's going to be, well, some news to our listening friends out there. The powers that be, the special people in the city of Marion, I believe it's today, are going to have a meeting with the state. Is that what you caught too?
State auditor?
I had a neighbor last night, so I kind of got distracted doing other things when some of the things, the important information was coming out. They're going today to get, like, the pre-audit hearing, aren't they?
I think that's what Miranda said last night.
Okay, so what that means to everybody is that the 2021 audit is getting ready to come out, or is it 2022? I don't even remember which one we're waiting for anymore. But we have an audit that's getting ready to come out, and I can guarantee you it is going to be full, because the last year that Landon was in office, so it's 21, it's just going to be a hot mess.
Well,
so
just
when they're talking about all this money and stuff, I don't know.
Well, just to run down what happened last night. I mean, that was the opening, and that was probably the longest bit last night, but it was not a contentious moment. And
Harry Klein got yelled at by the mayor.
Well, that's the next thing. But I do want to say before we leave this is, because that was probably the most contentious moment, the Finance Committee was not far behind. But but basically, just before we leave this local office of construction compliance.
Now, we're pimping it out to Columbus. We're having somebody from Columbus actually do it, but it's going to be our local office.
Well, I would hope that more than one person would speak in favor of it before they would pass it. So, you know, not for nothing, if a lot of people show up next week and say, you know what, I'm a contractor in Marion, this is a big deal, okay. Well, then I can see the use for it. And what's the term of use? Are we going to try this for a year? Are we going to try this for 2 years? How long is this going to go? So that's where that is. And I'm sure that'll be talked more about as time goes along. But probably the most and I did not think on it. I knew there were going to be people. Well, Terry said he was going to be there last night to have something to say about the
economic development.
Yeah, so we got to that point, and really all this was last night was amending the Yarger report, the job description for what this position would be. Now, what happened was Terry got up and
creating the position, basically. Yeah,
we're sending it on to council, but they still have to vote on it.
But this is what we want it to be. Yeah,
this is what we want it to be. So Terry got up,
giving birth to the position. How's that?
Yeah. But here's what it is. So Terry got up and stated his opposition to it, which he's very well been in opposition to it for a long time.
But he wasn't nasty. He wasn't disrespectful. He wasn't...
No.
He said, squeeze your brain. That was like the silliest thing that he said. You know what I mean? It wasn't...
Well...
He got up there and called him nincompoops or...
No.
Anything like that. But Thad Smith looked at him and said, what was your question? Because I don't even know. Thanks for paying attention to what I'm saying, dude. That tells me that you're not paying attention at all to any of the words coming out of my mouth.
Well, I'm not here to defend Thad, but I think I don't think he wasn't listening. Now, he could prove me wrong here. Maybe he wasn't.
It was a little circular.
I think what happened was is he did not take it as a question because nobody up there knew why Larry Brown was no longer the economic development.
Right, yeah.
I think that's what it was. He was thinking, I have no idea what the answer is, so give that to me again and maybe I can help you.
Well, you know what? I'm going to give Thad a shout-out then. I'm going to change my perspective on that one because instead of just staring blankly like they do at me, he was clarifying the question. We'll go with that.
That's how I took it.
Okay.
But then, and I also have something else to say about Thad here.
The economic developer, though, my thing was, I said, seems like we're paying them a lot of money. I'm talking about $120,000. I mentioned that we pay them more than we pay the assistant law director, who basically runs the criminal docket at municipal court. Mark Russell wasn't terribly pleased with me. But this person's going to be making like $13,000, $15,000 or more a year than an attorney that we've hired to help run the court.
I don't think you meant it as a knock on Mark Russell, but if you were sitting in the room, it kind of came off that way.
Well, I explained myself when I said I consider you the statutory attorney and I consider him the criminal attorney. Because that's basic. If you go up there, Mark Russell doesn't wear a tie. You don't go in front of a judge not wearing a tie. So that tells me Mark Russell never goes in front of a judge. Also, the one time that Mark Russell did go in front of a judge, it was to screw me 2 days after I went public with their illegal police stops. So, yes, Mark Russell does try criminal cases when Naomi and her husband are the victim and he gives somebody with an assault and a domestic violence non-reporting probation. So, yeah, my bad, Mark Russell. You do go into court every now and then.
Well, the crux of this was the mayor
I
was...
I want to make my point on this, though. Thad, I said, we're going to pay this person more than we're paying an attorney. And Thad said, well, that's his choice to work here. Dude, attorneys are in such short demand, we should not let an attorney know, well, it's your choice to work for peanuts. We're going to pay somebody that possibly might have a college degree more than you.
Well, so we get to the mayor is explaining what this is and how this came to be. And Terry speaks his opposition, which he's allowed to do. Now here's
was it nasty or disrespectful?
No, that wasn't. Here's where I think it became a problem. Is where the mayor stood up.
Holland's baby.
Well, but the mayor stood back up, and I'm trying to take this as it happened. The mayor stood back up, and what he said was, I'm not sure where Mr. Klein is on this, because he did not like can-do, how it was being run, and now he doesn't like this. And then Terry started to say something from his seat, and the mayor said, it's my time now, and Terry said something like, who cares? And
no, Terry didn't say that.
He said something.
It wasn't Terry.
He said something. I know he said something. I recognize the voice.
From behind me that said, who cares?
Terry did say something. I'm sure he'll call in and tell us what he said. But he did say something back to him. And when he said that back to the mayor, and I'm almost positive he said, who cares? So it might have been in unison
maybe
with somebody
it was.
Else.
That might have been someone said something, but I thought it came from behind me.
So he said that from his seat back to the mayor, and that got the mayor angry. And he started into, you know, Terry, I've lost all respect for you since you went on the radio and you said, and at that point, Thad gaffled the mayor.
You know why? Because I threw my arm up and I made eye contact with Thad, and I looked at him like, I was pointing at the mayor, like, are you going to let this go on?
Because yeah, but
we had this conversation a week ago about Mary Stoneburner being in her own world and letting people get yelled at. I'm going to stand up against adult bullying. You all may think that I'm nasty and mean and whatever, but one of the kids that was there last night, he's like, you know what? You don't let people get bullied, and that's good. That's what they tell us at school.
Yeah, but you know.
No,
but
screw these people and their adult bullying, middle school bullshit city council meetings.
Yeah, but I never, I don't think I've ever seen anybody gavel the mayor. In 2 years.
Yes, Thad Smith did gavel the mayor when he was screaming in my face, and that was October 28th, 2024. And Thad it was a municipal services meeting. I was talking about the bus, and Collins was never recognized. He just jumps to his feet. Trust me, I've played this over and over and watched it. Collins just jumps to his feet and starts yelling, and Thad bangs the gavel a couple times, and Collins just keeps going, and Thad banging the gavel over and over. Miss Collins, lower your voice.
Well, good, then.
It wasn't as anything as pronounced as it was last night, but he has gaveled him before, so shout out to Thad for not allowing that crap to go on.
Well, at least he's consistent then. So the that happens, and that was a little bit of an uncomfortable moment. So there's that.
So unprofessional, Scott. Still, 2 years in, he's still yelling at audience members from the box. I mean, he's facing a federal lawsuit for doing that shit, and he's still doing it. That tells you he does not care.
You know, okay, listen. I'm going to say this. I am not Mayor Collins' defender, and I have said many times when I feel he is not doing things that I think are good. But listen, if somebody went on a radio program, and I'm not going to say what Terry Klein said again, but even at the time, I said, you cannot say things like that. You are going, first of all, there are people listening.
Yeah, I don't know what was said. I honestly don't know.
It was bad.
Okay.
And you know what? I don't blame Mayor Collins for not liking that. That had nothing to do with policy. It had nothing to do. So, you know, I can understand.
It was not just a council meeting, though.
No, but I can understand why he might have been hot under the collar, and I don't think it would have ever come up if Terry had not said, who cares, when the mayor said, it's my time to talk now.
So he is so easily provoked that two words can send him into a tirade?
Well, I don't know. Maybe he'd been sitting on that for a while. I don't
okay,
know.
Okay, well, sit on it, buddy, because it's a city council meeting. I don't like a lot of those people either, but I have to get up there and speak to them professionally.
But so,
and they owe me the courtesy of speaking to me respectfully as well.
Well, so that and then, so there was that moment, and then there was also the moment when the Tommy Reese that I found that fascinating. There was a moment where the Tommy Reese no confidence vote came back up, and again Thad Schauber and Thad said table this. Basically saying,
but you saw Ditto wanted to push it on. Now I had hopes for him, but me and him are going to have a problem. because when he let Luke Henry get up there and talk for 15 minutes, and then I get up there with one question, he's like, and you're going to have to make it quick. Well, buddy, maybe you limit other speakers.
Well,
because if you're going to give one person 15 minutes to talk, you can't tell somebody else they're going to make that question quick.
But he also did not limit the plumber. So I...
He wasn't up there but for a couple of minutes, though. Luke Henry had a whole list of prepared questions in his phone that he went through.
Well, and again, just to give the benefit of the doubt, Bill is you know, what, 3 weeks into this? And, you know, maybe more consistency would be a good thing, but you are right. He voted against tabling the Tommy Rees issue. So it didn't work, though, because Thad and Schauber. And being in that committee, I don't think it'll ever get out of that committee because... I don't think Thad is for that.
No, let it, no.
No. So, you know, I think Tommy Rees is safe for the next 2.5 months, but...
But it's like I said last night, Spears, what, at this point, what is the point of doing this? Other than, doesn't it just look vindictive or mean or bullyish or petty at this point? We get
well,
it.
That's...
You don't like him. You don't, in that position, you don't want him in that job. Fine. He's leaving. Leave him
alone.
Well,
here's where I think these all, why all these meetings go awry. This is... Because I had 3 hours to think about it last night. Here's why I think they always go awry. Here's what happens. Okay, like in that particular moment, when the Tommy Rees no confidence vote came back up in committee, what are we going to do with it? And Thad Smith and Schauber said, we want to table this. Okay, now...
Can we table it? Are we allowed? Did we change the rules? You can't table stuff in committee.
That became an issue, so that was, we're going to look at that, blah, blah, blah. Okay, but here's the issue. Now, we address, okay, why is this being done? Is this being done to humiliate the man, blah, 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 blah? But we never hear, okay, Bill voted not to table it. Okay, Councilman Dichtel, why do you think it should not be tabled? See, that doesn't
Councilman
happen.
Councilman Dichtel, who's been on council for about a month, why do you think that the treasurer, that you should give the no confidence vote to the treasurer?
Right.
Who's been representative for all of the month.
Right, and that's what I wish would happen more. Now we get what the current situation is. If people feel they're trying to humiliate Tommy Rees or people think they're trying to send him out, we hear about that, but we never hear, why, Mr. Dichtel, do you... want to do this? What's your reasoning for this? Why are you voting against this?
Yeah, sit and convince us why this is a good idea.
Yeah, I would like to hear that. We never hear the explanation. So that's that. Now, then we got to finance, which to me, people people can read that a lot of different ways.
You know, there was one point that the young person that was sitting with me, if it had gotten much more heated, I was going to tell that young person to leave the room because they don't. I mean, to me, it was mild, but I'm like, man, I got a 10-year-old sitting next to me. That shouldn't be saying this shit.
Well, here's the problem.
You know?
Here's the problem. So basically, if you weren't there last night, Martin Watts came, and he works in the auditor's office. And
the deputy auditor.
Deputy auditor.
Number two auditor. Yeah.
And Miranda was there, and she was a little hot under the collar last night.
She didn't take Twyla's crap, did she?
No, she didn't. She told Twyla where to go. Twyla seemed a little off last night.
I wonder if it's because her employee record got posted on Facebook where she was actually charged with multiple felonies by Major John Schaefer, but Ray Groden's office declined to prosecute that. I wonder if that's what had her yap a little tighter last night.
Well, I did notice that she was she was confused on a lot of things, and when Miranda snapped
when
at her a few...
When you're 76 years old, that happens, and you're trying to be in everybody's business but your own, it probably gets a little confusing.
Well, when Miranda snapped at her last night, she did not snap back.
No.
So...
Because Twyla said the same thing 3 times, and finally McGinnis was like, she gave her the same answer the 3rd time, like, I don't know why you aren't getting what I'm saying. And
so
Twyla just sat there like... Oh, my God, I think I'm wrong, but I don't want to admit it. Move on.
Well, here's the whole thing. They argued. Nothing got accomplished. So here's my take on the finance committee.
Still in the same financial woes as we were an hour and a half before.
Well, but here's the thing. Okay, and I've said this about the finance committee, which is Aaron Rollins and Ayers Ratliff and Twyla Lang. Okay, here's the thing. This is my take on this. This is personal, and this is about egos.
Yes.
And last night, when Rollins yelled many, many times during that meeting, that to me is a sign that this is personal.
Oh, yes.
And when Twyla has done that in the past, she did not do that last night, but when she has done that in the past, I thought it's personal. And when Ayers last night
come in with a shit list and read it for 3 or 4 minutes against somebody, clearly it's personal.
Right, and I mean, we actually got to the point last night where Martin Watts admitted, I paid this bill.
That's illegal.
Absolutely, but he admitted it.
He admitted it.
He didn't try to cover it up.
One illegal thing to avoid another illegal
right.
thing is what we did in finance last night.
Yes. And I'm not saying you should do illegal things with the city's money without appropriations. But, okay.
He paid a bill. It's not like he stole money, people.
Right. Paid the bill.
Paid the bill.
And by the way, if he had not paid the bill and the fines would have racked up, they would have hit him for that.
So just so listeners understand, when you in the government, you have to have, city council has to give you an appropriation, the okay, to pay a bill. He did not have one of those. So legally, he should not have paid the bill. However, legally, if he did not pay the bill, we would have gotten fines and late fees. If you incur fines and late fees, that is also illegal. So that's what we're saying. He did one illegal thing to avoid the other illegal thing.
Right, so
the legal thing he chose was the cheapest method.
Right.
The least expensive.
Right. So, but then...
Save this money.
So, but then it came to why didn't he get this to council before it needed to... Something illegal needed to be done. And it actually got to... Here was the quote that I thought was interesting. Well, let's not do anything with it because eventually this person's going to have to pay for this when the internal audit happens. So, that's why it's personal. Now, I'm not saying you have to justify what he did, and I'm not saying that you have to think what he did was right, but now, are we trying to fix the city's finances? Are we trying to move this down the road?
No, I don't believe so. My only thought on that was, is if they tried to pass a piece of legislation after the fact, would that look like they were trying to conceal the payment that shouldn't have been made?
Well, all I know is...
My only thought. I don't know the answer to that question, though. But
you know,
it is very, very personality-based up there.
So it's basically, it was just left undone. Just it said it's already done. Let's just leave it undone.
Already paid. Yeah.
So that, but there in with those three people, for whatever reason...
Hey, wait a minute. I just want to get out there that, well, we've had all this chit-chat about Luke Henry this morning. The Brickyard did not pay their taxes last year, and it put the city in some kind of precarious situation that we had a big, long conversation about. Luke Henry not paying his taxes at the Brickyard last year, $9,000.
Right.
So, yeah, but we're going to put in an entire department, establish an entire department for him.
But I thought they were doing well. See, I don't understand anything. And this is, the point is, everybody gets off in the technicalities of this. Okay, we don't think the auditor's office is running right. We don't think the treasurer's office is running right. Well, I can tell you the finance committee is not running right.
Mm-mm.
So.
No, because they just said, forget it. We don't.
No,
almost
we're
throw it in the trash can.
No, they could have admonished him for that.
Mm-hmm.
They could have said, they are hurting themselves.
They were pretty nasty to him, though, weren't they?
Well, yeah. I mean, but you know, this is the thing. I do not understand why, you know what, if you want to fire him, if you want to try to get him fired because he did this, okay, that's fine. Do what you want to do. But why are you not passing this appropriation and noting that he did something wrong? Why can't you do that?
After the fact, yeah, you can put some whereas in there or something in there.
Yes. I mean, why?
Whereas this was brought to our attention 4 months after the fact, whereas, blah, blah, blah.
Right. If you want to make a note of that, fine. But what does not a passing the appropriation do except make it look undone? And make it look ridiculous for Martin to have done it. And he's got an explanation. I mean, it may not be the best explanation in the world. But it just... Right. But to me, you know what? This just all seems very childish. It all seems... Nobody is working on fixing the financial problem. And you can be sure of that. Nobody on that financial committee, the treasurer and the auditor, they are not working together for 5 minutes to fix any financial problem because they're too busy yelling at each other and too busy trying to gotcha each other. And you know what? As the city's finances... And then... I see
and
last night.
Be crappy to the public, and then get mad when the public's crappy back at them.
Right, and again, I am not defending what Martin did. All I'm saying is he admitted it on the record. We know what he did. So why would you not pass the appropriation? Put all the notes in there you want that he did the wrong thing. If you want to call it illegal, call it illegal. Fine.
Okay, well, you know what? If people think it's illegal, then they need to be dialing up 1-800-FRAUD-OHIO today and reporting it.
Right, I just cannot understand after all, and you know, this is not an isolated incident with the finances of Marion. If you are truly interested in fixing these finances, why don't you get something done?
Okay, that's what I was going to say. These people we've got Chauvin heirs leaving, but nearly everyone else, we've got a couple of appointees, were elected. They were going to fix Marion's problems. They were going to get us out of this hole. And yes, it was going to take time, but we needed to elect them. We needed to elect them. We did elect them. 2 years down the road, I think we might, well, we don't know. We're probably in worse financial situation than we were when these people all got elected.
Well,
we know they've blown a bunch of money that we didn't have.
Well, you know what? Yeah, obviously, I got home very late last night, but before I got home, I was just looking at the news feed, and I saw people...
Diet Coke?
You know, I didn't last night, but...
I didn't either. I just came straight home.
I just came... After that, I thought, you know, this is enough. I was looking in the news feed, and I'm not saying a lot of people, I only saw one post, so I don't want to say exactly who it was, but somebody posted on Facebook, you know, after watching this finance meeting,
we need a city charter.
We need a city charter. And I thought, boy, that's the exact opposite of how I took that.
I commented and said, by the time this charter would be enacted, Tommy Reese will no longer be in office, and your party could run, they're a Republican, I know this person, and your party could run somebody against McGinnis without rewriting the government.
Yeah, but, you know, in rewriting the government, again, we don't know who's going to pick that person, who's going to fill that position. We don't know what qualifications that person has to have, and we don't know who's going to be in there at that point to be picking these people.
And how much are we going to pay them, and do we have the money to pay them?
I just...
Because you can pick 15 people that go come up with this charter, and we all say, okay, let's have a finance director, and we're going to pay them $150,000 a year. And with their benefits and everything else, that comes out to about $210,000 a year.
This is all I'm going to say.
Does Marion have $210,000 to pay this person?
Well, this is all I'm going to say. Isn't the situation that we have set up since 2016 essentially a charter without a charter? Because what has happened? Because this idea that nobody will run because of the money is garbage. People aren't running because they think they will not win, because the Republicans win everything, because that's how people vote.
Is it just that you won't do it because you don't want to lose, or is it that you don't want to be humiliated and taken on by the machine and destroyed and threatened and have your reputation ruined and your garbage gone through and all that other stuff? Or is it that you're just afraid of losing?
Well, I think it's probably more afraid of losing, because I've known qualified people like Tom Pannett who lost. I've known qualified people like Kelly Carr who lost.
But I mean people that won't run. Why people won't run?
Oh, why they won't run now?
Because they're strictly afraid of losing, or is it because they're afraid of all the torment that goes along with losing?
Well, I think until the Democrats win something, it's going to be hard. And by the way, the Republicans picked Miranda McGinnis. That should not be forgotten. That's your pick. You know, that's your charter city right there. She was not elected the first time around. She was chosen. And also, Tommy Reese was hand-picked by the Republican Party, and NVIDIA was hand-picked by the Republican Party. So we've got charter city ideas in these financial departments.
Yes. So, it's just now that the hand-picked people aren't doing exactly what they're told. We need one hand-picked person to do both jobs, and then we won't have to persuade two people. It'll be a lot easier to persuade one person that can be fired. See?
Right, but see, here we are. Basically a mess last night, and nothing
accomplished.
Nothing accomplished, and if you were watching it on a live stream, you probably thought it was embarrassing.
We should be having an audit here, though. My understanding is, because I've been watching for it, because Marion County had theirs released last week, and my understanding is basically what they do is meet with the elected officials, lay out their findings, and findings also from the state means mistakes and money that will be owed for paying things late or incorrectly, et cetera. So basically the elected officials are going to go find out how much trouble we're in today, and then within the next few days, the audit will be released to the public.
So, and by the way, that's bad timing for Robert Landon, because
I think it's great timing.
Well, you know,
it's great timing.
That's his year.
That's his year.
That's his year.
October.
Yep.
Would she start in November? Yeah. So he's already cost us $150,000. Let's see how much higher that jumps up. And then, well, you know, Twyla was on a little podcast with him the other night.
Oh, I didn't know that.
A Facebook Live or something. I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know if it was pre-recorded or if it was live. But she was on with Landon. And then, of course,
Twyla went on with Landon?
Yes.
Now, isn't that a little counterintuitive that the current head of the finance committee, who feels that the city's finances are all screwed up, was on with the guy who started the screwing up of the finances?
Oh, now, listen, he didn't start the screwing up of it. This has been going on for 20 years.
Oh.
And we
Twyla believes that.
Yes, we don't, I don't know, but we don't really need an audit from the state of Ohio. We need our financial system audited because it is so vulnerable that it can be hacked by anyone.
And by the way, I'm not accusing Robert Landon.
He made no mistakes. He's hacked.
Well, but I'm not accusing, but I think he admitted on this show that he made mistakes. So,
well, on that podcast, he was hacked and he had to get the swipes in and out of his office because people were coming and going from his office that shouldn't have been allowed to. And I mean, I listened to it for about 7 minutes. And between Twyla's voice and the bullshit, that was all I could handle.
This is really being put. I mean, I didn't know this was going on. This is being put out there, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well.
Yep.
There you go. This is why
the head of the finance chair with the guy that cost us so far $153,000 in penalties.
Okay.
So they're trying to figure out the issues with the city's finances. Can't make it up, Spears.
Well, and then just to top it all off, to put a capper on it, then Teresa Lubke got up at the end and mentioned how the mayor had a men's breakfast, which he's been doing, by the way, for 2 years. But apparently he spoke about the Charter City and things of that nature.
There were a lot of things that he spoke about in there.
Yeah, but now I have a question before we run out of time here in the first hour, because I did not know that I really don't read the Marion Star. I look at the headlines, and if there's anything interesting, we bring it up here and somebody will tell me about it. Because I just don't feel the Marion Star's reporting logically. And by the way, Teresa said that last night. I couldn't tell by the reporting what actually happened here. So it's not just me. But the point is that, okay, I did go back and see what this thing said. I didn't read the article. But the picture, because the mayor said it's a Kingston thing. And it is my understanding that it did start at Kingston.
Yes.
But that picture is not at Kingston. I've been to Kingston.
I didn't think it was, but I had only been to Kingston a couple of times, so I didn't want to be like, that's a hall somewhere, isn't it?
Yeah, that's definitely not Kingston.
Okay.
So I don't know what that was.
Kingston is where they have the chili cook-off and stuff, right?
Right, so I'm not sure
Kingston.
Did
that
picture...
College or something.
But I'm not accusing the... Because the question was, Mayor, were city finances used for this? Now, I'm not saying...
There were handouts and all kinds of stuff, Scott. If you looked at the pictures, there was handouts at all the tables and all this other stuff.
Well...
Now, I'm not saying the city used city money or not, but if we're going back to, like, when they were having their little meetings down here on Lee Street at the church, and it's like Teresa Lubke said, don't give some people the information, and then it gets all spread around, and by the time it gets back to everybody, we're mad or sad or whatever, and you have more questions to answer.
But again, I'm not here to defend the mayor, but I do want to say
what you've been doing all day.
Well, I'm just trying to be fair. Trying to be fair. And I want to say that that picture to me is not Kingston. So, I don't know if the Marion Star just ran a picture because they didn't have a picture of what happened at Kingston. Because I don't know who wrote the article.
No, because there was more than one picture online.
Okay, so, who wrote the article?
Abby.
So Abby was there.
Mm-hmm.
So now, here's the point I want to make.
The press was invited.
Some of us. The press was invited, and Abby is a woman. I don't think these men's breakfasts are excluding women. They're called that because that's how it started. I don't think if a woman showed up, they'd say, get out. I don't think that's what it is. Now, if I'm wrong, somebody tell me.
I would say that would be Teresa Lubke's issue with that, because I mean, there's men's breakfast, there's women's breakfast, and as far as that goes. But when my issue is when you're disseminating public information, don't do it in small groups to where people are playing operator and getting 50 different messages out to the community. That doesn't do us any good. I don't care if you're doing it in front of kids or if you're doing it in front of
Now I'm here. Thank God for one of our listeners out here this morning. It was at the Harding Presidential Library. It says that under the picture. Okay, Teresa. Now, why didn't you bring that up if you read the article so closely? See, it seemed a little planted last night, I gotta say. And I'm not saying Teresa is not a smart woman. She is. But it was prepared. She had the paper in front of her. And, you know, if it says right under the picture that it was at the presidential library, shouldn't you have brought that up when he said Kingston?
See, I missed that, though. I didn't read the caption from the picture, but I guess if you took such umbrage with it, that you would probably take time to read the caption on the photo.
Right. So, and I'll tell you, the Presidential Museum ain't giving you anything for free. So, whether Kingston paid for it or whether the city paid for it, maybe that should have been her question.
That is a good question. Maybe I'll have to ask.
Well, that's what I look, because when I saw the picture, I said, that's not Kingston.
Well, then that kind of makes you wonder, it started at Kingston. Was it something that the mayor decided to continue? Because my understanding was it was a Kingston resident. They went out there, they met with the men.
He was invited.
They might do it monthly.
I do have to say, I was invited at one point. Now, one of the reasons maybe
they had guest speakers, is what I'm saying.
Right.
He called the mayor's breakfast, and then Scott Spears got invited. It was the men's breakfast.
Well, I don't know about that. But I do know that at one point, they did ask me to speak, and then at one point they did ask me to come. So maybe the reason I don't get the invitation anymore is because it does happen during the time the show's on, and I said I can't attend because it's during this time. So maybe I wasn't left off the guest list, and the star was invited. That could have just been, they know I can't come.
You could have sent someone to cover the event.
Right. I mean, that could happen, I guess. But again, I would like to know the answer to that question. And I'm not saying the city did pay for it. Maybe Kingston did. I mean, I know they have expendable income. They're not exactly a nonprofit.
Okay, but presidential libraries, and it wasn't even half full.
Well, again, I don't know how it ended up there. I don't know if somebody else paid for it, but that would be a question I would have, because the mayor did say that no city money was spent for that, except Bodine did the PowerPoint. We're going to break. We'll talk more about it on the opposite side. Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this, and I'm going to shut this pumpkin off.
You're listening to The Talking Place. The legendary star of The Facts of Life, Charlotte Ray, Mrs. Garrett.